My dad, Pastor Salem, loved to preach the glorious gospel each week, as well as give a clear invitation to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I'm Mike Salem, and welcome to the Christian Worship Hour. Thank you for your continued correspondence to us. We look forward to hearing from you. A recent online comment read, "My family and I are grateful for your incredible ministry. It's a true blessing to witness your dedication to spreading God's word around the globe, reaching not only those in their homes, but also bringing comfort and hope to shut-ins, prisoners, and believers in persecuted countries. Many blessings to the CWH staff. Your unwavering commitment truly exemplifies the promise that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord." Romans 8:28. In Dad's message today, "The Great Business of Being a Christian," he reveals Paul's three things needed to lead a Christian life. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And well, we're just always happy when we come around, and there you are waiting for us, and we get together and we have a wonderful time together, and then we go out during the week, and then we gather together. And one of these days, the trumpet's going to sound. And the trumpet sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And here I am, I can't see any of you. And those on television, you can see me, but the shortwave people, the international radio can't get us. But God bless you. We'll see each other face to face when we get to heaven. And you know something else? Though we never, ever met before, we'll know each other when we see each other. It's just, I believe that with all my heart. So, well, let's see. We better get going here. And we're looking at Psalm 119. And when we get to heaven, we'll just experience all these wonderful things in Christ. Psalm 119 reads, in beginning with the 89th verse, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless thy law that had been my delights, I then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me," or made me alive. So, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. It not only makes us alive, but it gives us eternal life, and we will never die. We may leave this body, and they say he's dead, but that's not true. We leave this body, but that spirit and soul of the Christian lives on forever in glory in heaven with you. And so we pray that everyone will know you, and everyone, because the door to heaven is Jesus, beautiful Jesus. And so we pray that everyone will trust him and love him. Pray for this service today in Jesus' name. Amen. And Jan is with us today. She's going to sing a song, "I Cannot Tell." And God bless you, Jan. When Christ the Lord Thank you, Jan. And that's what the prophet said. Christ is all in all. If you have Jesus Christ, you don't need anything else. And he'll provide and he'll help and he'll never leave us or forsake us. And he'll take us through life. He'll forgive us our sins. That's the first thing he does. And he makes us white as snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. They're just white as snow. Only Jesus can do that, the wonderful Jesus, Christ, the Son of God. Open your heart to the Savior. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And if you want the wrath of God, just reject his Son, Jesus. And God have mercy on your soul. Oh, that's wonderful. I love to preach about Jesus. He is so wonderful. He is so beautiful. And he will save you no matter what your sins might be. He'll take you, open his arms to you, and he'll take you in and wash you and make you clean. Oh, I love to preach that message. But before I do that, I want to read some of the letters. Get so many nice letters. So we know what you're thinking and what you're asking. Sometimes you have questions. We try to answer them for you. And but don't get in political. I'm not getting in politics because I have something far better than politics. I'm not Democrat, Republican, none of that. Just put that aside. We're talking about the eternal soul, Jesus. We're talking about not things earthy and that are passing. We're talking about things eternal, the salvation of the precious soul through the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, it's wonderful. All right, here's a letter from Kyron, Iowa. I would like 4 movies of The Heart of a Shepherd. I can't think of a better gift to bless my children with at Christmas time. Now, I'm going to tell you, this lady has got it right on. Heart of a Shepherd will make a beautiful, beautiful Christmas gift. And you can, and it comes at special package, a beautiful package. It has a shepherd on it, has a sheep on it, and they will love it. And children can understand it. It's in such a thing that they can underread. They can, when the Spirit of God speaks to them, they can open their heart to Jesus. And so you just send us a gift, and it's on a free will offering basis. And if you don't have much money or if you don't have any money, you write to us and we'll help you out. And actual value of our film is $10. But if you can't pay it, somebody else will help you. You just need to have it, and all of your friends need to have it. Well, let's see, Cheyenne, Wyoming. And they said, I would like a copy of the film to give my grandson for his birthday. I love this ministry and thank our Lord for the message that delivered every week. God bless all involved in this ministry. And I tell you, they talk about ministry. There's something else that we have. We have a little publication we put out every month. It's called A New Song, The New Song. And it's a little Bible study now for the month of November. The little Bible study is Paul's thank you list. St. Paul, what was St. Paul thankful for? And we got a list of things that he was thankful for. And so why don't you do this? Well, I'll give the address of in just a few minutes here. And then you can get it free and postpaid. And make a list of things you're thankful for. And then compare it with St. Paul's list. And it's just be a nice little thing. Gets our mind on giving and how that God gave us everything. And we need to give to others and bless others and help others. And so I'll give you the address just shortly. Here is Waynesville, Missouri. I'm so looking forward to watching and listening to your video, Heart of a Shepherd. I ordered two extras for whoever the Lord asked me to give them to. Thank you for your ministry. And I thought that was really beautiful. He says, I've got two extras because I'm waiting for the Lord to tell me who to give them to. And there might be some person, might be a young person, might be a child, might be an old grandma or grandpa. And they want to know about Jesus. And they want to know about how to get to heaven. And you can give them this film, Heart of a Shepherd. And in this film, it talks about a boy 10 years old accepted Jesus. And now that 10-year-old boy, he's been preaching for 75 years. He's in his 75th year. It's just absolutely wonderful. So you just write to us, and I'll give it in just in a minute, and we'll send you any number you want, free will offering. And if you don't have any money and you want to do it, maybe you're in prison, maybe you're on Social Security, you write to us. And you say, well, how can you send them out free? Well, I'll tell you how we can send them out free. We get people that write in all the time. And they'll say, I've got enough money, and I know some people don't have enough money, so this is to help people that are short on money. And so we get enough to cover it. So, you know, we're not just taking it off of a tree. We're getting it from God's people. And by the way, well, we're dependent on God's people to supply our needs, to keep this ministry going. And if something you think is right and proper, then you need to ask the Lord what he wants you to do. Here's St. John, North Dakota. And they said, thank you for the DVD you sent. It was so good that I found myself watching it three times back to back. It was excellently done and so touching and meaningful. And I'm going to tell you about this film. It's down to earth. It's where people are. And it's not just something made in Hollywood and shipped out. It's something that's made right here in South Dakota. It's in the Midwest. And we have a company that came out of Minneapolis, some wonderful people, a man and a Christian man, and made this film. And it'll speak to your heart, and it'll help you accept Jesus. It'll give you strength. It'll give you courage. It'll just be a blessing. If you can watch this and not get a blessing, I want to know your name because I'm going to pray for you. You really have problems. Here's Anchorage, Alaska, way up north here. Could you please send me Heart of a Shepherd? I watched the movie on Daystar, but need to help others come to him, to Jesus. Thank you so much. And so that's just exactly what we had in mind when we made the film. We want to make something so people can give to other people and tell them how to come to Jesus. And Jesus, God is not willing that any should perish. He wants everybody to come, but they can't come if they don't know how. And this film tells you how to come to Jesus. And the Holy Spirit takes it and it applies to your heart. And people are coming to know Jesus watching this film. Oh, I'm thrilled, and that's the whole thing. All glory to God, all glory to God. Well, this is up in Anchorage, Alaska. I'm up there with those polar bears. Maybe they'll show one to a polar bear. I don't know what if that'd work or not. Here's Ellsworth, Iowa. Love watching your show. I'm a nurse in assisted living, and I turn your show on a lot of the rooms. Everyone loves your worship hour. So here, isn't this nice? And she goes into these rooms and she says, would you like to hear the Christian worship hour? And it's an old fellow. He's 97 years old. And see what he's got to say. He sure won't have much. He won't have much wind anymore at 97. And so just see what it's all about. See, and they'll get inquisitive. And they'll say, boy, I would kind of like to see that. That is something, 97. For goodness grief. And so they tune it in, and then I'll talk about Jesus, and Jesus will talk to their heart, and they'll ask Jesus into their heart, and they'll be saved. And they'll go to heaven. We'll see him in heaven. Now, how can you beat that? So just help us out. Oh, look at here. Look at this letter. Yorkshire, England. England. A letter from England. Please, will you send me Heart of a Shepherd? I have unsaved family. And I want them to see this. Please continue the good work. You have blessed me as I listened this morning. Jesus is Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And so here's this wife, this mother, and her family. She's not sure about her family. And she says, I have unsaved family members, and I want them to see this, because when they see this, they're going to see how to accept Jesus. It's spelled out just as plain as day, how that you just do it when you just go to Jesus and you pray. And you say, well, I don't even know how to pray. Well, you just talk to Jesus. Don't call it prayer. Just talk that you're going to talk to Jesus. See? And you say, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for my sins. And Jesus, just please come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll forsake them the best I can. Now, you're never going to be perfect, but you strive for perfection. You try, see? And so I'll just serve you the best I can, dear Jesus. And then thank him. Thank him for saving your soul. And I'll see you in heaven just as sure as the day is long. Yorkshire, England. Oh, that was a thrill to get that letter. And one more I want to share. Bridger, Montana. Thank you for the Christian Worship Hour. This is now my church and has been for a couple of years. Through your church, I have accepted Jesus Christ. What a blessing. I have a bad heart and am an amputee. I live on a very fixed income. Please send me a copy of The Heart of a Shepherd. I cannot send my tithe right now. Thank you. And so we send it right away, because we know there are people going to write in and they'll say, well, now we'll send this gift and you help send it to somebody that doesn't have any money. A lot of times it's prisoners. Sometimes people on Social Security just barely making a good go of it. Some people have a lot of medical expenses and something. And we're delighted to send it. We send on a free will offering basis. If it's, well, you got $1, if you don't have anything, you write to us and you'll get a film. And then you share it with somebody and it'll bless them. And who knows how many people will come to know Jesus because you shared that film. So this is what you do. You write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota. Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to, you can get us on ChristianWorshipHour.com. You can get us on the internet. And you know another thing you can do, you can send gifts over the internet. You say, how in the world do you do that? Well, there's a place that says donate. You put donate and you put down your money. Supposing you're in Germany. Or maybe the Philippines, and we've heard from a lot of different places. Norway, you got a letter from Norway, gift from Norway. And then you put your money in there, we'll get it in American money, and we'll pay the bills, and we'll go on our way rejoicing, see? So just do that. And then don't forget the new song. And in this new song is not only a little Bible study, but it also tells all the sermons we're going to preach the month of November. And it'll tell, well, the scripture where you can look it up. It tells a lot of people that are send memorials into their friends. And we have devotionals we have. And then you can see our website. Oh, man alive, I'm telling you, that new song is worth a lot of money. And here we are sending it free. You say, well, you're going to go broke, aren't you? Well, when the Lord's supply runs out, yeah, we'll be broke. But so far, we haven't even come close. So if we're doing His will, He'll pay the bills. He, no problem. So get it out now. Lord, let me give it one more time. This is for the shortwave people. You don't have a screen. So you just say Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. God bless you. And so now this is what we're going to do. I'm going to pray. And Jan's going to play. And you give as the Lord lays on your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for these gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. We're reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 today, and we're going to be talking about on being a Christian, how to be a what it costs to be a real Christian. We got a lot of people running around Christians, and they're acting like they never knew the Lord at all and don't know what God wants them to do. So we're going to talk about living the Christian life, being a real Christian. And then in our prayer today, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Somalia. So we begin with verse 12. Paul writes and says, "We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Esteem them very highly for their love, for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded and support the weak. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, but also will do it. Brethren, pray for us." So, dear Heavenly Father, we do pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world. And we think of our brothers and sisters in Somalia today. And oh, they're having hard times, and some are giving their life, and some are losing their homes, and their churches are being looted or burned or torn down, and oh, what a pressure they have. And yet they love you, and they never complain, and they stand true no matter what the cost. And oh, dear Lord, I just pray for myself, that I would be that strong. I just don't know. I hope I would be, but I don't know. But I admire these people, Lord. My brothers and sisters in Christ, somewhere in the world, in the dark places of this world, and they're serving you, and they're true to you, and you're using them to encourage other brothers and sisters, and honor Jesus, honor that beautiful Jesus. Dear Lord, we're praying now that you'll help us to be a better Christian, And none of us are perfect, and we never will be. And as long as we're in this world, we'll be working on it. And when we fail you, Lord, and when we sin, we go to you because you said that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just, and you'll forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so you won't hold it against us, you'll forgive us. And if we sin 1,000 times, you'll forgive us 1,000 times because your grace is sufficient. There's nothing too great for the love of God and the gift of God. So help us to love you, and may many come to know you today, and may Christian people be strengthened. And we'll give you the care, thanks, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And Hank, good faithful Hank, is with us, and he's going to sing "When You Find the Lord." And God bless you, Hank.
Well, thank you. This world is searching for something they will never find in diamonds and gold. They're just wasting their time. But deep within your heart, there's a treasure forevermore. You will find out who you are when you find the Lord. If you want a peace that will last when the world is caving in, don't you worry about the past. Jesus forgives every sin. You will find the way happiness and joy. You will find out who you are when you find the Lord. There's a purpose in your life. If only you could see, there's a mountain you can climb and be all he wants you to be. Put your faith in the Lord. When you don't understand, just trust in his word. He'll take you by the hand. You will fly so high. Like an eagle you can soar. You will find out who you are when you find the Lord. You will find out who you are when you find the Lord.
Well, Hank, that is right on when you find the Lord. And so I've got to say, have you found the Lord? And you say, well, I know I haven't met him. I don't even know what you're talking about, found the Lord. And let me tell you, there's a wonderful Savior, Jesus, the Son of God, and he is God. Some people have a problem with that, but the God doesn't have any problem with that. He said, this is my Son, and by my Son we created all the world, and he was with my Father and I are one. They're one of that Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's why, so in heaven they're singing, holy, 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 because of that Holy Trinity. Well, now, you want to find Jesus, and he wants to find you, because it says he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. It says in the Bible that Jesus, Jesus says, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. And you say, lost? I'm not lost. What does it mean by that? Well, it just simply means you don't know Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus, you're lost in your sin, and you're going to go to a Christless eternity. And so he came to seek and to save. And so this is how he does it. As I'm preaching and you're hearing the word of God, and it's all the word of God. It's not anything I'm doing. You'll have a feeling. You'll just, I want Jesus. And I know I'm a sinner. And God says, if you have sin, you cannot go to heaven. If you have one speck of sin, if you stole one little green apple, you ain't going to heaven, my dear friends. You're out. And we have one evil thought of lust or jealousy or envy or gossip, sin. And there won't be one speck of sin in heaven. So we have to come to Jesus. And Jesus went to the old rugged cross and he shed his blood. And he paid for the sins of the world. He paid for all of your sins. Paid for all your sins as long as you live. Prayed for all of my sins. He shed his blood because the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And so he shed his blood to pay for our sins. And when we want then, so when we come to Jesus, we say, dear Jesus, I know you died for my sins. And I just ask you to come into my heart and my life and take away my sins. And then he'll say, yes, I'll do that. And then God says, their sins and iniquities will remember no more. So you pray, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've sinned against you. And I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And dear Jesus, I'll turn from my sinful ways the best I can. And thank you, Jesus. That's exactly it. You say it ought to be harder than that. Well, the devil, he says he tries to make it hard, but Jesus says, I want it so a child can accept Jesus. And I was 10 years old out in a country school. I didn't know up from down. I thought a football coach had four wheels. That's what I thought. I didn't know anything about it. But there had an evangelist came, a Christian Missionary Alliance pastor, an evangelist, and he told me about accepting Jesus. And I prayed 10 years old, and Jesus came into my heart and took away my sins and wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, 10 years old, and now I'm 97 years old. And I remember that day I accepted Jesus that night as though it was last night. And that's what we want to do. That's what we're aiming to do on the Christian Worship Hour, is to have you come to Jesus. You have to come to Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus says there's only one way to heaven. Now, there's people running around the cults, and they say there's lots of ways to heaven. It's just like you're at the bottom of a hill and there's a lot of paths to go up to heaven on the top of the hill. Well, the heaven doesn't happen to be on the top of the hill, for one thing. And another thing, Jesus says, there are not a lot of paths, only one way. You say, that's awful narrow. You bet it is very narrow. And that's what God says. The narrow is a path that leads to heaven. Few there be that find it, but you can find it when you call in the name of the Lord. Now, when we accept Jesus, then we become a Christian. And so then this matter of being a Christian means that God just demands that we do everything, that we live for him, that we make him the first place in our life. He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. I love the Lord. He commands us to love him. And you can love anybody if you want to. If you want to make up your mind and ask God to help you, you can love anybody. And in the persecuted church, we have those dear people, and they pray for them and forgive those who persecute them. And only by the grace of God can it be done. But that's the ultimate in the Christian life, and we have to work toward that. And so we have to put him first place or nothing at all. It's not some kind of a little game that you play, but it's a real battle. It's a struggle. It's a fight. It's a fight against the devil and against sin. And so that takes every fiber and every core of our life to live for the Lord Jesus Christ and to make it the best we can. St. Paul talks about this. He says in Ephesians chapter 5, and he talks about walking with the Lord, being a Christian. We accept Jesus, then we walk with him, and we never turn back. No turning back, no turning back. I give my life to Jesus. I put my hand to the plow. I'll never look back. I'll only look ahead. I'll keep my eyes on Jesus, ahead of me. You'll never win a race running looking back. You have to look ahead. Keep your eyes on the mark, on Jesus. And so Paul writes in Ephesians 5, verses 15 to 17, he says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." And Paul is telling us this. He's telling us that we if God saves our soul, if Jesus saves our soul from hell, then we want our need to give ourselves to Him, and we're to follow Him and serve Him in all the days of our life. And we need to just see that we're putting our effort into it. And it's not easy being a Christian, and it's too tough. There's some people not willing to pay the price. And we're not working to get to heaven. We're saved by accepting Jesus, and afterward Jesus, then we work. We don't work to get to heaven. We do good works because we are saved and we're Christians, and then we do our good works. Don't get the cart before the horse. Read the Bible. Study it. It says, rightly divide the word of truth. So there's far more than that just to claiming Jesus, because He has a claim upon our soul. When we ask Him to come into our life and take away our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness and take us so we can go to heaven, we're clothed in His righteousness. Well, then we can't just accept that and then not serve Jesus. How are you going to take all of that and not love Jesus? You have to give your whole, all your being to Him. In other words, God is willing to save our soul. And if He's good enough to save my soul, then He's good enough to command me and tell me what to do. And we've got a lot of people running around, and they don't want anybody to tell them anything, and they're just plain stupid. Because everybody needs a master. Everybody needs a leader. And for us, it's Jesus. Beautiful, beautiful Jesus. And if He saves my soul, if He's good enough to save me, He's surely good enough to command me and tell me what to do. So you say, yes, I do want that. I want to be a Christian. And maybe I am a Christian, but I want to be a better Christian. I want to live that Christian life. What do I do? And Paul gives us three things that we need to do in this scripture that I just read. The first thing is we have to have a goal. We have to have a goal. And that goal is to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. That's my song. Every time I walk this walk, I want to be like Jesus. Because He's my model. He's my guide. And so that, the Lord, He becomes a part of our life. And He dwells within us. And then He affects every thought we have. And every plan we have in life. And every dream we have in life. We have to be so permeated by the wonderful Lord Jesus and that wonderful desire to be like Him. It has to be the thing that just controls our whole life. Every dream we have, every plan we make, every goal we have, it's to be like Jesus and be in the service and honor Jesus Christ. And nothing dares come before us. We can't have our business come before our worldly pleasure or even family. God wants to be first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things shall be added unto you. And so that's what God is calling us to do, pointing us the way, showing us the way, walking with the Lord. And so people says, how can I possibly take from His blessed hand the wonderful salvation He offers me? How can I take all that He gives me? He gives me joy. He gives me peace. He gives me assurance. I can go to bed at night, and I know if I die during the night, I know I'm going to heaven because I have Jesus. I've accepted Jesus. I'm clothed in His righteousness. And when they see me, they won't see me. They'll see Jesus because of His righteousness is clothing upon me. And so that was what Paul the Apostle's message always was. You know, Paul, he lived a terrible life, and he had put people in prison. He put them, he'd take the head of the home. And he says, now you declare that you are not a Christian. You declare that you do not believe in Jesus Christ. And if you don't, I have the authority to put you in jail. And with young Stephen, a godly young man, Paul took his, washed his clothes while they stoned him to death. He agreed to it. He thought that was just fine. If you wouldn't renounce Jesus Christ, that's fine. You can give your life, and he let you die there. So first and foremost, it has to be Jesus Christ. He has the one to rule our lives. He has to be the one we think about, the one that we plan for, the one that we dream about. Nothing must come between us because we're dedicated to Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, it is a joy. It is a great joy because when you love the Lord like that, you'll find that he is so beautiful and he is so kind and he is so loving. And that wonderful Lord, he just tells me how to live and he points the way out. And when I make the wrong step, he just speaks to my heart. I know that's wrong. I don't feel good about it. I ask him to forgive me and I get back on the wall and walk with him. Paul goes on and he says, walk circumspectly. And that simply means be careful how you live. Be careful how you live, see? And this wonderful Lord Jesus, we want to walk, how do we plan? What do we have in goals? And we're thinking about, oh, this Savior, I want to honor him. And I want him to be pleased with me. Men and women of Christ, listen to me. It is not the slightest glimmering of hope that we have if we have to take our filthy sins and we give them all to Jesus, and yet we don't want to give anything back. How can we take everything from the Lord? And just think what he did for us. He went to the cross, and he died on the cross to pay for our sins. And so we take his salvation, and we take his redemption, and we take the cleansing of our sin, and we're made as white as snow, but we don't want to give anything to him. We don't want to put him first. He is our all in all. Everything we have comes in this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. And so I beg of you, make that goal Jesus. Jesus all the way, all the time. And then the second thing Paul tells about is we have to have an open heart toward God. He says, not as fools, but as wise. That is, it has an element of discernment. That is, for successful Christian living, we have to be careful how we do and how we live. And so we're going to come to times when we have to make decisions. And some of these things we may not know for sure. And what do we do then? How do we know the way? And so Paul says, don't be as fools. That is, don't be unwise in your living. And be careful how you live. And study the Word of God and read the Word of God. And when you have some questionable thing in your life, Paul says, if there's a question to it, then don't do it. Be able to have peace at what you do. And when you make your decisions in life, God will give you peace and he'll give you joy as you walk with him. But when we get out of the way, then you see, then we can't do it. And just think of what Jesus did for us. And when we think of that, we think of, oh, Jesus has to be first. Because what did he do for me? He went to the cross. And you know what we're told in the book of Hebrews? It tells us, Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down now at the right hand of God. Jesus rejoiced that he could go to the cross and pay for my sins. And so now here I come, I'm living this life, and I want to live a life that's pleasing to him and walk circumspectly, want to really careful. Somebody illustrated it like that here's a cat. And this cat is walking along on a high board fence. And on one side of the fence is a police dog, great big sharp teeth. And on the other side of the fence, there's a bulldog. Just looked like he liked to eat you. And she's walking along the top of that fence. And she's putting one paw in front of the other paw very carefully. That cat is walking circumspectly. And that's the way we live for Jesus. We're careful how we live. Paul says, try to understand what the Lord's will is. What does the Lord want in this? How does the Lord? And let him make it crystal clear. And so how do we find that? Well, one thing, we go to the Bible. Study the Word of God. Search the Bible daily. Search it continually. Know what it says of yourself and to yourself. And when you read the Bible, and I've done this so I know what I'm talking about, I've been reading it, and all of a sudden I'm thinking about something else, and I'm not reading, paying attention to what I'm reading, and that's terrible. And when you do that, you go right back up to the start, and you read, and what is Jesus telling me? And you know the Word of God, David in the Psalms, he says that it's like a light under my pathway. It shows my light, shows me the way. You know, I was raised out on a farm, and we didn't have electricity, and we didn't have electric lights, and we didn't have running water, and we were poor. We were desperately poor. But we had an old lantern that you could carry that had a handle on it, and it had a little place for kerosene and a wick, and then you could walk with that lantern in the dark. And I never liked the dark, and I still don't like the dark. And when you walk with that lantern, it made a circle of light around your feet, and all the rest is dark. All the rest is dark. But as you walked along, that light would open up the way. All the way from the barn to the house, that light. And God and Paul and David writes in the scriptures, and he says, "Thy word is like a lamp unto my pathway. It shows me the way, the Bible." So read the Bible, and I'm going to tell you, you'd be amazed at how much God has in that Bible, and how practical it is. And you maybe have something you're wondering about and you're not sure, and you're reading that Bible, and little by little, God will show you this, he'll show you that. Talk to your pastor, talk to Christian friends, get into Bible study and study it. And Paul says, rightly dividing the word of truth, study the word and divide the word so you know what you're reading and doing, and then pray, and just pray. And when you pray, it's just talking to Jesus. Don't get fancy. You don't need thee and thou and all the rest, but just talk to him. And I live alone, so I can talk out loud. And sometimes I talk out loud to the Lord, just a wonderful way. And you just tell him, you know, inch by inch and letter by letter, he'll show you as you study and you read and lead upon him, the wonderful Lord Jesus. And then the final thing we need in walking that, living that life for the Lord is a Spirit-filled life. Paul tells us that we need to have the Holy Spirit to guide us, and he has to show us the way. And then when we accept the Lord, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. He comes into us. You see, when we accept the Lord, we're poor lost sinners, and all of our righteousness is like filthy rags. We are dead in our sins. You can't work for the Lord. When you're dead, you can't work. We're dead in our sins. And so we call in the name of the Lord, and the Holy Spirit comes, and he baptizes us. 1 Corinthians 12:13, he baptizes us. That is, the Holy Spirit brings life into our body. Not the old life. That old life is always with us to sell us out. But there's a new life. It's a Spirit-filled life, and it gives us guidance and strength. And that wonderful Holy Spirit is there always to show us the way and to point the way. And so we pray, oh God, show me the way. And Paul says what you need to do, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It says be filled with the Holy Spirit and controlled by him. And so you say, well, now you think, I used to think of it this way. To be filled by the Holy Spirit, it's just like filling a glass of water. You see, we used to have to carry our water up, and we'd pour it into a glass. And I thought, well, fill that glass like a whole filling with the Holy Spirit with me. But it's a different filling. It is as the Holy Spirit, when he comes into our heart, and he controls our whole being, our whole body. And this Holy Spirit, it seals us so that we belong to the Lord, and we can never be lost. And then this wonderful Holy Spirit, as he dwells within us, he will show us the way and guide us the way, and you'll be going along, and you didn't know what a decision to make. And you say, oh, I wonder what I ought to do. And so then you just think about it and you just pray about it. And the Holy Spirit will give you peace. And if you don't have peace about something, don't do it. Back off and wait a little bit. Wait and see. It means when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, it means that we're abandoned all of our self-centeredness. We can't live for ourselves anymore. We're living for Jesus now. And the Holy Spirit is showing how to live for Jesus. And all of us, we all have a tendency for selfishness. You take two little boys and, you know, and they give them a car and give them half a dozen cars, and they'll both want a certain one and they'll fuss over it because we're just born to be self-centered and selfish, and we have to just give that to the Lord, and so that we don't have a will of our own, but it's all the Lord. And you say, well, I don't know if I want to go that far. I don't know if I want to be the boss of my life. But you're going to never make it if you haven't done it. You have to have the Lord. Now, here's what happens when we live this life. We're tempted to do the things of the world. And there's a lot of glitter and a lot of gold and a lot of bright things shining. And what are we going to choose? So we think about Moses. And you remember Moses, he was raised by Pharaoh's daughter. And Pharaoh's daughter taught him how he could be the Pharaoh of all of Egypt. And she taught him in all the science and education that Egypt had. But Noah had a mother, and Noah's mother, Moses had a mother, and that mother had taught him. She had raised him until weaning, and then Pharaoh's daughter took him. And she said, now, Moses, you are a Hebrew. Don't you forget it. And you're going with those people. The Hebrews are slaves. And so you remember, you're a Hebrew. And when push came to shove, we read, Moses, when he was become of years, refused to become called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. He had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Hebrews 11, 24 to 26. So make your stand like Moses. Take Jesus. Ask him into your heart. Make him the Lord of your life and give him everything you got. You know, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And we're not saved by doing our works. We're saved because we have accepted Jesus. By faith you're saved. And in Ephesians it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. So that wonderful Lord Jesus comes into our heart and makes us his own. And then we serve him and follow him the best we can. Give him all. But the first step, ask Jesus into your heart. You have to have Jesus. And you make that prayer, just dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you, just come into my heart, take my sins away. I'll forsake my sins and live for you. And if you pray that prayer, you'll be born again. Jesus says in John 5, 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And so you accept Jesus, and you'll never go to hell. You'll have eternal life. And if you do that, you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And you write to us and we'll send you some literature. And then you can also get us on ChristianWorshipHour.com on our website. And you can get a lot of our materials and some of the sermons and devotions and things like that. But you write to us if you accepted Jesus and you want help. We'll send you some literature. Be sure to ask for the new song. And if you want to get one of those, that film, remember, is free of it's a free will offering. And you just send it, and we'll be glad to help you. And if you don't have anything, we'll send it free. Now I'm going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this time together. We thank you for all who put their faith in you and those who drew close to you. Just bless them with peace and joy in their heart. Lord, we pray for those who are on sick beds. We pray for those who are shut-ins. We pray for the young people trying to decide what to do in life. We pray for the children, Lord. Oh, so the children, so many times they suffer and they're hurt. They're forgotten, especially in the persecuted church. Everything is torn up. Bless them and help them. And help us to love you, Jesus, and give you everything. Help us not to hold back. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So you write to us now, Christian Worship Hour. And if you want to send a gift, you can do that. We need to have your help. Help us that way. You can send it on the internet, christianworshiphour.com. And we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, so every penny is accounted for. So we just thank you for opening your door today. And we're just praying that you'll have a good week. Maybe this is the week the Lord will come. I don't know. But just that God will bless you and you'll lean on him. We pray that you'll be able to join us next week again when we'll open up the Word of God and look at that precious Word of God, the Word of God that's a light unto our pathway and that will lead us to heaven and guide us to heaven. So don't forget now, we always say it over and over, God loves you, God loves you. The Christian Worship Hour loves you, and I love you, and I want to see you in heaven, and I can see you in heaven if you have Jesus. So God bless you, God watch over you and keep you, and next week, God bless you.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.